Gerard, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and the Zone Sports Network. We'll talk to Blake Anderson, hopefully here in a moment, get some thoughts from him as Utah State gets set for a showdown against Boise State coming up this weekend. Back-to-back games. So Utah State had this really nasty stretch of games when the schedule was released. First five games of the season, Washington State, a North Dakota team that was in the quarterfinals of the FCS, Air Force, Boise, and BYU. And frankly, in kind of breaking down the schedule, I thought, you know, if this team can go 2-3, it's pretty good. You know, new system, new coaching staff coming off last year's team. Well, now they're 3-0 in that stretch and kind of playing with house money. And you got Boise rolling in at 1-2 after tough losses to Central Florida and to Oklahoma State last week. And you're starting to think to yourself, huh, well, where is the ceiling on this team right now?
And you've got
because after
three undefeated teams in the Mountain West Conference.
Yeah.
Wyoming, Utah State, and San Diego State.
Correct.
Wyoming's got wins over Ball State, Northern Illinois, and Montana State. They beat Ball State up pretty good. Barely beat Northern Illinois.
And their first game, they had to come from behind to beat
an FCS team.
An FCS team.
Correct.
Then you got Fresno, who lost in a close game to Oregon in week one, and then went on the road and beat UCLA in the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, Fresno State's now 3-1.
Yeah.
I forgot about the UCLA win.
Yeah.
The Mountain West Conference right now has to be the strongest group of five.
Oh, without question.
You know, you've got a few undefeateds in the AAC. Cincinnati, Memphis, and SMU all undefeated in the AAC. And I know that Cincinnati got the preseason ranking at number 8, and it might be very top-heavy. And remember, Scotty, we talked about the two big games for Cincinnati. Indiana,
yeah,
and Notre Dame. Well, they've got a bye week. They played Indiana. They've got a bye week. They play Notre Dame next weekend. So they got a bye week, and then they play the following weekend.
Okay.
Against Notre Dame.
That Indiana game was – I watched a lot of that in preparation. I was in the hotel getting ready for the Utah State Air Force game, and I watched a lot of that Indiana game. And Indiana had them on the ropes. A really, really nitpicking targeting call on their best linebacker, their best defensive player, gets him bounced. And after that, and it was on a third down play too. They would have had a punt. Indiana had a two score lead at that point. They kick out the linebacker because of targeting, give him a first down, and Cincinnati goes down and scores. And then they just flip the momentum, and it just
started rolling
for them.
So, Scott, if they find a way to beat Notre Dame in South Bend in 2 weeks,
yeah,
they'll run the table because there's no resistance after that. None. Their schedule after that is cake. Indiana didn't end up being the preseason rank type team that people originally thought it would be. It was a preseason. They were somewhere in the top 15.
Yeah.
Well, Notre Dame is the 12th ranked team right now in the country, and that is probably going to be the game of the week. Because if Cincinnati gets past them, then I think voters are going to have a real chore.
Well, they'll be your New Year's 6 G5 team easily and maybe, frankly, a playoff team.
Who knows? Who knows what you do with that? They're going to, you know, they're going to have their own parade, their own party, and designate themselves their national champions just like Central Florida did a couple years ago if they're not given that chance at the college football playoffs. If they do get a New Year Six Bowl, I hope that they put them up against a nasty opponent. That's if they do get this win over Notre Dame. But outside of Cincinnati and the ACC, right now the Mountain West Conference is making a real push for big-time national recognition. And then you've got Utah State right in the mix of it, who got a really good win out of the gates against a really good Mountain West Conference opponent.
And the other thing, you look at their schedule too, and this is certainly working in their favor, is with the alternating schedule. If Utah State can beat Boise coming up on Saturday, then their schedule really opens up after the BYU game in conference. They don't have to play San Diego State. They don't have to play Fresno State. They do not have to play Nevada.
Yeah. Yeah, UNLV, Colorado State, Hawaii, New Mexico State. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Tough 2 weeks, though.
Tough 2 weeks.
Going to test them to the max.
And it all begins on Saturday as the Aggies take on the Boise State Broncos. Early morning kickoff, 10 a.m. We'll start with the pregame show at 9 a.m. right here on the Zone Sports Network. But Blake Anderson, kind enough to join us on the Smart Rain guest line. Coach, how are you?
Hey, Coach.
I'm good. I'm running a few minutes late. Sorry. You guys had to stall a little bit. I appreciate that.
Hey, no apology needed.
We always have something to say.
Yeah, we always have something to run our mouth about, for sure. And you got a lot more important things to worry about than hanging out with us. But now that you've had a couple days to decompress and look at that film against Air Force, just kind of walk us through the emotional roller coaster that game really was for you and that staff, and how resilient it was to see your team get another win after being down double digits multiple times in that game.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Maybe we just can't play any other game but just pure stress. I don't know. Maybe that's going to be our MO. It's going to shorten some lives around here and add some gray hair. So the guys just flat just don't quit. They just don't. Attitudes were great. We were frustrated a lot of the night, just defensively trying to figure out an answer. It's funny, as you watch the tape, we did a really, really good job against just the base triple that we prepared for. It was the things that they went to off of it that we just did a really bad job. Got them off schedule a lot, and we just let them back off the hook. Third and 10, third and 11, second and 17, third and 9, and just seemed like in those areas we just kind of self-destructed. But, you know, offensively we were able to get some momentum and score some points, and then defensively, you know, late when we had to have some stops, we got it. And you just – can't say enough about a group that continues to play, continues to believe, stays positive, doesn't get frustrated or down on the sideline, and truly believes that if we can just keep the thing within reach in the fourth quarter, that our conditioning and our effort's is gonna pay off. And it did again in a very stressful but amazing come from behind win.
Coach, I'm very familiar with Kyle Whittingham and Kalani Sitake and the way they address injuries. They'll only address it if it's a season-ending injury. And I'm just curious, I kind of want to, out of respect, just get a feel for how you address injuries, if you do mention them, because obviously all of us are looking at your quarterback right now wondering how his health is and what the potential is for him to play in the upcoming weeks.
Oh, he'll play. You know, I try to just be as transparent as I can. I'm not a doctor, and so I try not to sound like one. But if it's common sense and kind of makes sense, I typically don't shy away from just kind of being open. He took a tough shot. He really did, and he was not able to finish. He could have probably played, but just didn't feel like he could be very effective. And Andrew came in and did a phenomenal job, obviously with his legs and made some big throws to help us win that thing. But I would not expect that Bonner. I think he'll practice today without a problem. He'll be sore, but would expect on game day that he's ready to go completely. He's tough, and he's been beat up before. I think just that particular night, that injury or that the back was just at a point where he just didn't feel like he could be as effective as Andrew was. And he told us, Coach, I think he's got a better chance of getting us through. I just don't think I can turn on the ball like I need to.
You know, Coach, I've been sitting on this question. I've really wanted to talk to you about this because I've been that defensive end and that defensive tackle that puts that hit on that's just maybe a step too late and I get that 15-yarder. I've never hurt somebody to the extent where they laid there like that, and that's worrisome. But I want to know from your point of view, had that been one of your guys that laid that hit, how would you have handled that as a head coach?
Well, you know, the penalty wasn't thrown, and I clearly thought it should be. And I've watched the tape, and I still think it should have been. We teach that every day of discipline, of pulling away. I don't think it was a malicious hit. I really don't. I think that as you watch the tape, I think it should have been a penalty. I think it was late, but it was close. And I feel like the guy's trying to make a play. He played hard. He played hard to the whistle. And we want to play hard to the whistle. If I think it is malicious or a guy intentionally tried to harm a player, then we would handle it completely differently. And we would always remove those guys from the equation. So, but we work very, very hard to try to teach that on film. And we try to make sure that our guys respect the game and respect the opponent, but also try to play within the rules. So I think that's a really close, touchy deal. I mean, I do think the kid was just playing hard. It got there a little bit late, but the flag should have been the penalty, and it just didn't get thrown, in my opinion.
I know there's a lot of talk about Devin Tompkins, but deservedly so. I mean, a guy that's 5'8", 155, and going out and right now leading the nation in receiving yards. But what I think is really impressive is how you and Coach Tucker are finding ways, lining him up in the backfield, the pre-snap motion, the creative ways in which you and your staff are trying to find ways to get him open, because you get that guy in space, Coach, and he's really fun to watch.
Yeah, he is. Man, maybe the biggest recruiting job we did was getting him to stay, you know, come out of the portal and stay at home, and it's turned out to be great for him and us too. One of my absolute favorite dudes to be around every day. He and Coach Cephalo and Coach Tuck all have unbelievable relationships. He's a high energy practice guy every day, which elevates the room and the team. And we do have to be creative. I mean, you can't just line him up where everybody knows where he's at. I think Tuck and Seth and the staff on offense have done a really, really good job of not only utilizing him a lot of different ways, but also spreading the ball around to everybody over there. He's clearly having a great year, but you can see other guys are touching the ball and being effective as well. And I think it all plays off each other. We need to be very, very balanced. Utilize our playmakers and obviously clearly give him plenty of opportunities to touch it, but make sure that defenses know. They do have to know where Brandon Bowling's at, where Griff is at, what Calvin Tyler's doing. You know, we got our tight ends involved this week. It's good to have Carson back. You've got to defend everybody, and I think that makes it even better for him in space because it limits what people can do against you.
So I understand the Air Force on-the-ground yardage, and that makes sense because that's what they're trying to do is push and run. When you go back and you look at the film and you look at their 400-plus yardage, Coach, how – acceptable was that, but also how many mistakes were there that you wanted to get cleaned up and had some probably pretty terse conversations with your defense?
Yeah, we had some, you know, some strong meetings the last couple of days. We did a lot of really good things. As I mentioned, we were very efficient on early downs. I thought we played very poorly in off-schedule situations. I didn't think we were nearly as competitive at the point of attack as we needed to be, especially when the ball was put in the air. We played a lot better pass coverage against both Washington State and North Dakota than we did against the triple option team. And I think that's the issue. You get so caught up on the triple, so concerned about all the different assignments that you have against the triple in the run game, and then you let it affect you in the throw game that we just didn't play as competitively early as we needed to. Now, we did late. And that's how we got stops, and it changed the game. I don't look at yardage, I look at points. And the frustrating part was for us is that we didn't force field goals. Yardage is it's a little bit skewed with what we do offensively and the time that we, how long we're on the field or how short we're on the field at times. Yardage is near as big a concern as can we force kicks, and we just didn't force enough field goals. We just didn't keep them out of the end zone. So I think there were good and bad. Obviously, you got to credit them when we needed to. We got a third down stop after an interception. We forced a strip fumble, a turnover at the end. We forced a punt when we had it to, even though we had not played well really leading up to the fourth quarter.
Blake Anderson, head coach at Utah State, joining us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. I didn't get a chance to talk to you about this on postgame, but you told me before the game you hadn't gone two consecutive games in your career without a trick play. You go with the early onside kick to pick up that extra possession, which I think was a really smart move, especially considering how the game was going at that point. Air Force snuffed it out, poor execution. Talk us through that a little bit.
Well, a little of both. The way they were playing their front, we felt like there was a reasonable chance of success. We didn't kick a very good ball. Elliot will tell you, he had kicked that ball much better during practice. It should have been much wider on the field of play, and he just hit it a little bit thin, and it went right to the guard. There's a gap outside of him that we felt like gave us a great chance in numbers to recover the ball, and we just didn't execute it very well. Yeah, for that particular offense, whether they get the ball at midfield or backed up, probably doesn't make a whole lot of difference. Yeah. If they're executing, they'll go for it on fourth down from the minus 10. So strategy of it was to try to steal a possession. It didn't work in our favor, but I thought it was the right decision at the time, and I thought our defense did a good job of holding them to a field goal after that series.
So now you look forward, Coach, and Scotty and I were just talking about this. It's two big matchups in a row. Obviously, you're focused primarily on Boise State right now. Give us some breakdown, some of the early thoughts of what they're doing, specifically offensively, if you wouldn't mind.
Well, you're going to see a completely different style of offense this week, but a lot of the same issues in the fact that you get every shift and motion and alignment and pre-motion. It's just it's going to challenge you, very similar to what we saw from North Dakota a couple weeks ago. Every play is something different. They do a great job of using a lot of eye candy. They've got a quarterback that can deliver the ball, big running backs that are physical, that can go, and one of the best wideouts that we'll see all year. So, I mean, weapons everywhere, but then it's all of the adjustments that you got to do a great job. So, different animal than the triple, but just as confusing and frustrating if they let all that stuff get them away from what they're supposed to do. The matchup physically are this can be one of the best looking teams we'll see, if not all year long, these 2 weeks in a row, athletically. I mean, the matchups are in their favor in a lot of places, so we got to use effort and intensity and our conditioning, again, very similar to what we talked about last week and against Washington State, to try to minimize some of those and hopefully, keep ourselves in the game and make it truly a 60-minute game.
Any update on Dominic Tatum?
I would tell you that I do not expect him back for quite a while, if not the entire season. His injury was significant, and we don't know all the details of it yet. We'll know more in a couple days, but definitely something's going to keep him off the field for quite a while. Could be season-ending, depending on what results we get back in the next few days.
Okay. Well, Coach, looking forward to chatting with you a little bit more later on tonight on the Coach's Show. Thanks for your time, and good luck coming up on Saturday.
I'll try to be on time for the Coach's Show. How about that?
I don't have hands hanging out with me on the Coach's Show, so, yeah, I would appreciate
it. So you
that.
Be on your own.
Yeah.
I appreciate it, guys. We'll see you tonight.
Thanks, Coach.
Thanks, Coach. There you go.
So one of my best friends is an uncle to a player on that Utah State football team.
Yeah.
And he's actually turned off two games before they ended because he just felt like he couldn't watch it. It was just too hard.
Yeah.
It's really hard. You know, when you got a family member on a team at that level and the game is going the way some of these games have gone, and you just feel like you can't take it, and it's just better for your emotions and your overall well-being to turn it off. That's where he got twice, two different games. And hasn't seen the end. had to go back and rewatch the end. Coach is right. These have been high octane, brutally emotional, highly physical games. And it's not about to let up. Boise State is going to be a difficult task. But I'm also excited to see Utah State. Air Force challenged them. Air Force is a challenge for them. This is another level of challenge.
Right now, you can call 801-438-7058. If you or a loved one are dealing with some hearing issues, now's the time to call. Don't wait on it. And you will then be put into a drawing to win a free set of the Maseratis of hearing aids, the Signia AXs. Man, this is incredible, the technology these things have.
Yeah, I don't think they have the same technology as the Maserati.
I don't know.
It's close.
But they are pretty cool.
It is close.
They are pretty cool. The fun thing about this is the first hearing aid that has dual processor technology, meaning that we're not going with a Maserati, right? If you had a Maserati and you took them on a one-lane highway, or you're not going to be able to go very fast because there's going to be somebody in front of you that's going to slow you down, right? But if you open up a two-lane highway or four-lane highway, however you want to think of it, now you got some speed. You can take that Maserati off to the left hand. You can pass all the slower people on the right. It's gonna be a fun ride. That's basically what this hearing aid allows us to do. It takes all the speech and understanding, it puts it in the left lane, so all the things you want to hear, and then puts all the background noise in the right lane, so we don't have to amplify that speech. We get all the speech and understanding that we want.
So when you hear that, you would think that you're looking like Greg Rebell on a sideline from a 1998 BYU broadcast, like, you know, the headgear and the backpack and everything to get that type of technology. But That's not the case with these things.
No.
They're very discreet.
No, this nanotechnology that people are working on, man, they've made it so we can pack those two processors in a package that's smaller than its predecessor. This is actually 25% smaller than the last hearing aid. So you're getting a smaller hearing aid, you're getting a more powerful hearing aid, and at the same time, they found a battery source that gave you an additional few hours. We went from 24 to 36, so now you get a few hours there. Of battery life. So all those reasons, we want you to come in, try this, see if it really does work. The early feedback we've gotten so far is that it's been phenomenal. People that have worn hearing aids before and are trying this technology are really blown away. So we're looking for people to come try it risk-free for 30 days. All you need to do is give us a call, schedule a free hearing evaluation in any of our 20 offices, anywhere from Logan down to Nephi. And we'll get you in for a free hearing evaluation. If you do qualify, if you have hearing loss, you'll then be able to try the hearing aids risk-free for 30 days.
801-438-7058. Call that number right now, 801-438-7058. Some breaking news along the world of college football right now for the University of Utah. Charlie Brewer, according to Josh Newman of the Salt Lake Tribune, reporting Charlie Brewer has left the University of Utah football program. Kyle Whittingham released a statement, said Charlie has decided to move on, and we wish him the best. Hans and I will break this down in depth coming up here soon. Jay Hill, head coach at Weber State, joins us next right here on the Zone Sports Network.
It's game week for the Utes, and the Zone Sports Network is getting you ready for kickoff. The Utes open up Pac-12 play as they welcome in Washington State for an early start. Listen all week for your chance to win tickets to the game and then catch the Ute pregame show Saturday at 10:30 with a postgame show immediately following the game on the Zone Sports Network. Ah! From Monday morning to the postgame press conference, nobody brings you better coverage of Ute football.
You ready?
Yeah!
Than 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Weber State suffering a loss to James Madison over the weekend. And here to break it down and look ahead to the next game for Weber State, the head coach of the Wildcats, Jay Hill, kind enough to join us. Coach, how are you?
Hey, Coach.
Good. How are you guys?
We're doing well. Doing well. So let's talk about that game and where you felt like things kind of got sideways. I know James Madison jumped out to a big lead. Hans and I were breaking it down a little bit yesterday. That fumble return for a touchdown essentially kept a game from maybe 10-10 to turning it into a 17-3 game, and kind of felt like things snowballed a bit from there.
It did. I don't think we handled that adversity very good. First off, we got to take care of the ball in that situation. I think we had it first and goal at the 6 or something, and then we fumble, the quarterback fumbles and gets returned 97 yards for a touchdown. So instead of being 10-10 and playing very well on both sides of the ball, now you're down 17-3, and it just kind of took the air out of the stadium, out of the players for just a minute. Yeah, there were so many good things that happened. We had the defense gave up 109 yards in the first half against a very, very explosive offense. So they were playing great. The offense, when we had the wind at our back in the second quarter, was really moving the ball well, and we just couldn't capitalize on some of the things that we had going on. And then the third quarter was not good for the offense or the defense. That's kind of where the lead ballooned a little bit, and then we played great in the fourth quarter again. So it's just really for about 15 minutes after that fumble occurred, we did not play as well as we should have, and it got away from us a little bit.
So, Coach, we got to see Kylan and Randall play that quarterback position, but I want an update on your quarterback position and talk a little bit about Bronson Barron, where he's at.
Well, Bronson's still going to be probably, now again, I'm not a doctor, but he's probably still going to be a week or so before we get him back. So it's going to come down to Kylan and Randall doing a good job of, you know, one of those guys got to become the guy and handle the situation well. I will say Kylan, I thought, played very good in the fourth quarter, and we were moving the ball well. We scored two touchdowns against a very good defense. They didn't sub anybody. And so some of the things that we were hitting in the fourth quarter was really the stuff that we should have been hitting all game long. Yeah, so Kylan, I thought, came in and did a very nice job.
your message to a team after a loss like that? You mentioned you'd played James Madison a few years ago, and you said, hey, this is the kind of team that we're going to have to be if we want to eventually make a deep run inside the playoffs. I got to imagine that's still probably the message. And then also, hey, your goals of a conference championship, those are still wide open and have not, those have not diminished whatsoever.
No. That game, as frustrating as it was and as many opportunities we had to really win it, the scoreboard, for sure, at certain points in that game, did not reflect one bit what that game was all about. I mean, that was a dogfight all the way till the fumble in the first quarter, or in the second quarter. And then if you look at the stats, we had 19 first downs. They had 16. The overall total yardage was very close. They won the turnover battle, which those games come down to, right, when you're when you're evenly matched. And then we have a play that really we're going to score seven, and then they pick up a fumble recovery and return it. You get a 14-point swing and lose by 13. I mean, that's what that game came down to. And so is all lost? Absolutely not. We proved that we deserve to be there with James Madison. We have each of the last three times we've played them. Now, they're definitely one of the top one or two teams in the country and have shown that over the last 10 years. But we still have got to make the plays in those big games like that to be able to pull them off. And that's really the message to the team, right? Make a couple plays, and the game's completely different if we just make a couple plays in that first half instead of giving them the one. The game's completely different.
Obviously, Coach Rashid Shaheed was a bright spot in this, had a nice 20-yard return off of a punt. I think he had a long one off a kick, a 50-plusser, if I remember right, off of a kick. And he puts him up nearly 100 yards receiving out onto the field. Talk a little bit about Rashid Shaheed and a bright spot in this game.
Well, Rashid's played well all year and continues to make plays. I don't know this for sure, but I think he leads the nation in kickoff returns. He did going into that game, and then he had another 60-yard return in that game, so I can't see that anyone's passed him. But he continues to play well, and we got to have him play well, and we got to find more creative ways of getting him the ball. He needs to touch it, you know, 10 times a game between the kick returns, receiving, fly sweep, reverses, that kind of stuff. He needs to touch it 10, 12 times a game.
Well, I know that maybe UC Davis may not have the same cachet as James Madison coming into town, but Weber State fans need to pack that stadium coming up on Saturday, because UC Davis is a really good team. They've already got a win over an FBS team in Tulsa. They've blown out San Diego. They blew out, put 60 on Dixie State. You got your hands full. This is a really good team rolling into town.
Oh, yeah. This is another top five team in the country. So I really believe right now in the country, you got Sam Houston, James Madison, North Dakota State, and then probably the next three teams, in my opinion, are out of the Big Sky. Somebody in the Big Sky, a UC Davis, Eastern, us, Montana. So the league, we got our work cut out for us, and UC Davis is right there. I mean, they beat a very, very good Tulsa team who the next week probably should have beat Oklahoma State. This is a real team coming in here for sure.
Well, Coach, good luck coming up on Saturday. Looking forward to catching up with you next week.
All right, look forward.
That is Jay Hill, head coach at Weber State, right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. As we mentioned, that's a really good UC Davis team rolling into town coming up. If you are a Weber State fan or just want to see some good football, get up there, check out that game, 6 o'clock start at Stewart Stadium. That place needs to be rocking for back-to-back weeks. It was good against James Madison. They need that same kind of crowd support. That's going to be a really good game. All right, Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hans, I know that you've scoured that too deep, the University of Utah. The thing that's going to jump out at most people is the news about Charlie Brewer. The too deep was released originally, and Charlie Brewer was not on it.
Mm-hmm.
Cam Rising was the starter. He was not the two. And then
Jaquindon Jackson was the two.
Yep, and now the news being released that Charlie Brewer has left the program, and I got to imagine, and we'll talk more about this in depth coming up in the 12 o'clock hour, but Hans, I got to imagine the conversation, if we were to kind of role play this thing, Kyle Whittingham sits down and says, hey, look, we don't like the way things have gone over the last 2 weeks. We feel like we need to have a spark. We're going to start Cam Rising coming up on Saturday against Washington State, And Charlie Brewer's response was, well, coach, if you do that, I'm going to go try to find another place to go, or I'm going to be done with football. And probably Kyle Whittingham called his bluff, and now he's left the program. Well, it's not a bluff if he actually leaves, but it seems like, I don't know, that's how I see this conversation going.
I'm still trying to internalize it. I would imagine it's something along those lines. Either I'm going to go find somewhere else, or I'm just done, and I'm ready to move on. I don't know what his plans are, because it doesn't.
He's done, right? He doesn't.
This was it.
He was a one and done.
Yeah, this is it for him. He was a super senior, and I don't know if there was heated conversation. I don't know if he was. He was just done with the game, because there were parts of both the BYU game and the San Diego State game where he looked done. He looked like he didn't care.
Yeah.
He looked like he was disinterested or completely caught off guard. And that wasn't the case in the opener. That wasn't the case through fall camp. They were very high on him, very excited to have him. This came apart really quickly. I did do the film review on that Utah-San Diego State game. If you want to see some of the shortcomings of Charlie Brewer, they're on full display. He can't react to a blitz, can't release a ball fast enough. When he could release the ball, it was overthrown for a pick against BYU. He was overthrown on a 3rd and 9 against San Diego State. Multiple missed throws. Bizarre stuff. Out of character. And then he just leaves. Doesn't put up a fight. Yeah. Doesn't want to be the backup. Doesn't want to wait. Just gone.
Well, Tim Lacombe sent out a tweet, and I think this is really well said. He said, look, you bring in those fifth-year guys or your super senior COVID guys, and what you're doing is you're bringing in mercenaries. These guys have no affiliation. They have no allegiance to the school. They're just coming in because they want they want a better situation. And if it doesn't go their way, then they're probably going to bail because they have no this wasn't a high school recruit. They came in for one purpose and one purpose only, and that was significant playing time. And if they don't get it, look, there's no allegiance to the school. They haven't spent 3 years going to class and enjoying the campus and developing friendships and relationships. They're out.
Yeah. And possibly leaving the team in a lurch, because just Quindon Jackson is not ready to help this team.
No.
They're very athletic. You'd be wildcat most of the time. I don't know if you could rely on him to throw a pass at this point. And now you're dealing with Cam Rising, who is dealing with an offensive line that's letting a lot of pressure come through. You've already set the standard that if you bring pressure, you're going to get there, so more teams are going to bring pressure. Cam Rising does have feet, but that means he's getting out of the pocket taking hits. He's already lost a season because of a shoulder injury. He took a couple of big hits in this game against San Diego State that made me cringe and think, oh boy, maybe you aren't going to have him next week. And if he goes down, then you're going to be dealing with Jaquinda Jackson. Texas transfer, plenty of athletic talent, but it was very early in camp. It was recognized and acknowledged that he's not ready to play that quarterback spot.
And frankly, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, some rumblings that he might switch to the defensive side of the ball.
There were some rumblings, yes, that might be a good fit for him if he wanted to make a run at the NFL, that might be a better fit for him.
So I don't think anybody's doubting the right move for Kyle Whittingham and this Utah team was to go with Cam Rising as starting quarterback, but with no Charlie Brewer holding the clipboard and being ready to go in, if heaven forbid something happens to Cam Rising, it's the drop-off from number one to number two is pretty significant. And no knock on this kid, it's just there's not a lot of experience there.
I wonder where this conversation went sideways. I wonder if it really was just about him saying, well, look, if I'm not starting, I'm not going to stay.
Well, does he have a redshirt year?
No.
Charlie Brewer?
No, I don't think so.
Because if he had a redshirt year, he could technically leave because he's only played 3 games. And, you know, that he, now red shirts can play three or four, hold on to a red shirt, and then keep an extra year of eligibility. So that's – but if he doesn't have a red shirt year, then, yeah, his career's pretty much done then.
I don't know. Let's see. He might actually have a red shirt year. Let's see. Okay, so he showed up in 2017, and looks like
he did not.
Looks like he played as a freshman.
Yeah, so he does have a redshirt year. So the timing actually does make a little bit of sense. So he can technically use this as his redshirt year because he's only played three games. And then have another year of eligibility wherever he wants to go after this.
That makes a little bit of sense. Because they get four, right, on the redshirt year?
Four games, mm-hmm. Yep.
So maybe he does still want to play the game. Maybe he just doesn't want to be here in Utah anymore.
And then he'll be a hired gun somewhere else.
It is really weird to see how things were undone. You know, having the pressure of losing that rivalry game on you as your second game here in the state of Utah, your first loss here in the state of Utah, and it's to the rival, and it's in that stadium, in that environment, and it's under the pressure of that staff, that's probably more than you can take. That's probably more than anybody could take. That's got to be a pretty tough situation to be in.
There were a lot of people out there looking for his services.
Yeah, and so I guess it would make sense that he would be looking for another spot.
We'll continue to talk about this. Charlie Brewer, no longer with the University of Utah. He is left, and now will be a and now the job is Cam Rising. So he will be the guy for the remainder of the season, knock on wood, if he stays healthy. So it's Cam Rising's team, like it was last year.
Is Utah a uniquely difficult place to be a quarterback?
Well, this is what we talked about, you know, on Monday. You know, because, look, Cam Rising threw over 9,000 yards. You've got a guy who's the head coach of the Carolina Panthers, who is a former coach of Baylor, said, the only reason I got an NFL job is because Charlie Brewer won a bunch of one-possession games for me at Baylor, made me look good, and now I've got a coach in the NFL. Who was the quarterback last year? He threw for 3,000 yards and 27 touchdowns at South Carolina, Jake Bentley, mm-hmm. and looked just awful at quarterback for the University of Utah. Like, that was my question yesterday, is why is it the guys come here and have such a hard time? And the only guy who's had really great success is an NFL quarterback in Tyler Huntley. These other guys, they're not NFL quarterbacks. The one guy that actually had NFL talent was able to perform well, but anybody else has really had struggles.
This puts us in such a difficult position as analysts, because I start to look at every different area. So let's start with the offensive line. So you want to start blaming Jim Harding? I don't know if that's the area. Jim Harding's got like 8 draft picks. Maybe 10 draft picks. And as one of the longest tenured coaches with Kyle Whittingham, especially on the offensive side of the ball. In fact, longest tenured coach with Kyle Whittingham on the offensive side of the ball.
Yep.
And he's got plenty of draft picks. And I've watched his development. His development's been good. I've watched a lot of offensive linemen grow under his tutelage. The most recent would be Jackson Barton. Jackson Barton needed a lot of growth and a lot of development and a lot of help to get to the NFL. And he got that at the University of Utah. So I'm not ready to just say, oh, my gosh, you got to find a new online coach. I feel like Jim Harding's been doing it for a long time. Then you'd go to the tight ends. Well, Freddie Whittingham's coaching the tight ends. So Freddie Whittingham's working with the tight ends, and they seem to be blocking well. They seem to be the primary targets on the team. I don't have any issue with it. If you need a jumbo set, you've got Keithy and Fotheringham. If you need a slot set or you need some type of split-out set, you've got Kincaid and Keithy. Then you go to the wide receivers. Wide receivers have always been an issue at the University of Utah. There's never been a real consistent reliance on wide receivers. But Britton Covey's always been good. You go to the running backs. The running backs, you just had Moss.
Yeah.
Kyle McDonald worked with Moss last year, correct? Or
2 years.
2 years ago.
Yeah.
He was brought in that year, right?
I think so, yeah.
So, and we saw Andy Ludwig with Tyler Huntley. I'm just trying to figure out, where is the fall apart right now with quarterbacks at the University of Utah? Where is the disconnect? How are you going through these transfer? Why, how is a guy like Charlie Brewer going from being spectacular, looking good against Weber State? Go back and listen to the praise Kyle Whittingham gave him when he came on with you and I.
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Kyle came on with Scotty and I. I asked him specifically about Charlie Brewer's performance, and then more specifically about his ability to throw into blitz. Kyle Whittingham was very complimentary. How do we go from that to Charlie Brewer just leaving? And really is leaving the team in a lurch.
Yeah.
If you think you're safe with one quarterback and that Cam Rising is just the answer and everything's hunky-dory from here on out, you've got a lot of games left in this season. And you've got a quarterback that's already injury-prone and a quarterback that runs a little bit to put himself in harm's way. You're not in a good spot. You needed Charlie Brewer. At the very least, you needed Charlie Brewer to say, hey, I'll stay and help this team however I can. We saw that from, we've seen that from multiple senior quarterbacks. What was it, Troy Williams? Was he the backup that stayed when Tyler Huntley won it?
Yep. And was great.
And
great
he was mentor. A senior, wasn't he?
Yep.
We've seen, who was the other guy that came in and saved the game last year at the end of the year? Or... we've seen a couple of quarterbacks just stick it out and wait for their moment, and then they get in at the back end of a season and they win a game for BYU or for Utah, or they do something big for Utah. But not Charlie Brewer. He's pulling up anchor and he's sailing. It's hard because I want to blame the kid and say, oh, you just quit. But I don't know how that staff handled it. I don't know how Andy Ludwig handled it. Maybe they just made the switch and didn't tell him. Maybe he just wanted the respect of being told. Maybe he was chewed out in team meetings in front of the team. I don't know how it was handled. But to have a quarterback just leave, it is a horrible look for the quarterback and for the team. That's not a good look for the coaching staff.
No, that's the thing. I mean, it's one thing to go after the players, but... you know, it's like the guy that gets divorced after five marriages and says, hey, maybe the problem is me. You know, there's got to be a lot of self-reflecting going on right here if you're the University of Utah. They cannot be held blameless in all of this. All right, Hans and Scotty, this is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
This is DJ and PK.
Time to bring in Nick Ford, the Youth Center.
For you guys who've been around, you're used to being 3-0 at this point in the season. It's been a long time since you weren't. How different does it feel now as you start conference play, basically to not be 3-0?
We're pissed off for greatness. It's not something, you know, you can sit here and dwell on because it will topple everything over. And looking at it the way we're looking at it, we know our mistakes. We know what we have to fix. We know what we have to get done. And we still have an opportunity to turn everything around. You know, there's still 9 games of conference play. We're 0-0 right now as we see it. That's why I say the team is very optimistic right now and willing right now because we see what we have in front of us. We understand what just happened, and we understand that we cannot continue to let that happen.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
.97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, the news. Charlie Brewer, no longer the quarterback at Utah, no longer a quarterback at Utah, has left the program. Our own Jake Hatch, which has sources close to the transfer portal, has peered into the portal and has not seen his name pop in there yet, but we anticipate it will be there very shortly.
You'd imagine he's not done, but maybe he is. He's definitely done with the University of Utah. We need to spend just a little bit more time on this quarterback situation right now, but there's other things that we need to get to on this depth chart that are big changes and of general interest, I think, for Utah fans. But with Charlie Brewer leaving the University of Utah and calling it quits with that team, that leaves you with Cam Rising, who's just come back off a very serious injury and has rehabbed and fought through fall camp, but you know, ended up losing that starting job to Charlie Brewer. You've got him, but then you got Jaquindon Jackson, who's the Texas quarterback transfer that originally I think he was a transfer in an effort to get a young guy, because Jaquindon is just a freshman.
Yes.
You got the Brewer transfer where he was a super senior, but Jaquindon is just a freshman, and he's an up-and-coming talent. He's athletic talent, but he is not ready to take snaps at that quarterback position for the University of Utah. I don't even know if he would. I wonder if it'd be Britton Covey. I could see a situation where if Cameron Rising was done, like had an issue and there was a problem and he was done for the season, maybe you throw in Jaquindon Jackson and you try to get things going. But I almost feel like if you got to put a Band-Aid on something, it might be Britton Covey over Jaquindon Jackson. I don't know. That's just a total assumption.
Yeah.
But that's an effort for me to tell Utah fans just how much of a lurch Charlie Brewer leaving is leaving Utah in. It's a bad deal for the University of Utah. And I'm still a little bit shocked by it all.
It's just, that's what it seems like, that there is a certain situation here where when you, you know, somebody just pointed out and tweeted out, when you sell your soul to the transfer devil, this is sometimes what you get.
Yeah.
I mean, when you get a mercenary to come in to your program and you don't give him everything that he wants, well, he's going to go somewhere else if he can play somewhere else next year. Like, he's got no loyalty to your program. And look, I'm all in favor of the free transfer. I'm all in favor of the transfer portal. But just know that when you go down that path and you have, I mean, your three quarterbacks on your depth chart with Jackson, Cam Rising, and Charlie Brewer, they're all transfer quarterbacks. So you can't be surprised when one of them, if it doesn't go his way, is going to be like, I'm out.
There's a part of
me. I mean,
I
don't mean you. You shouldn't be surprised. I'm just saying in general, you can't be surprised.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. There's a part of me that's seeing this all take place, and it makes me wonder. By the way, the quarterbacks on the roster, you've got Peter Castelli. You've got Bryson Barnes. And Cam Rising and Jaquindon Jackson. It's the guys that are currently listed that I'm seeing. So maybe this is a time to activate somebody else, get somebody else rolling. Because you can't count on Cam Rising to be able to go the rest of the season unscathed without need of repetition from others. But this kind of makes me wonder, you know, we saw the battle in camp. And I tried to stay as close to the situation as I could. I saw Brewer winning that battle. I saw him getting the start. Scotty, as you know, I originally predicted that Brewer was going to get the start.
Mm-hmm.
But I was reading tea leaves the whole way. And one of the tea leaves that I was reading in all of it was, you've got a transfer quarterback with as many yards as he's thrown for. One of the thoughts in the back of my head was, why would he have come to Utah unless it was kind of a known thing of, well, our starting quarterback is injured. You come in, start fall camp. We're going to do everything we can. Just come in and perform. We're going to do everything we can to give you the opportunity to be our starting quarterback. Because I feel like that was done. I feel like Utah did what they could to, because, it, you know, you got Cam Rising who beat out Bentley last year. Now, we saw why, because Bentley wasn't a good quarterback. But I guess there's a part of me that's wondering how much that maybe played a role in it, where he transfers to Utah and gets the start. But the thing is, I don't know how much of it's about that, because he's shown on film he's a good quarterback.
Yeah.
So you've got a bad situation there. And Scotty, when we get more time, we'll jump in and get more deep into some of the other changes, because there's some other dramatic changes made on this Utah offensive side of the depth chart.
We'll do that coming up in about 5 minutes from right now. We're live here at My Hearing Center, 801-438-7058. You know, it won't quit on you, these hearing aids. They're not entering any transfer portal. They're here for you through thick and thin.
They'll be here as long as you take care of them.
Yeah.
Right? If you're starting them every day, they'll get you.
What's the maintenance on these things like?
You know, it's actually pretty awesome. So, first of all, we do have a charger that will clean the hearing aids and sanitize them while they're being charged, which is pretty cool. And then every quarter or 4 months, you know, 3 to 4 months, we invite you to come in the office. We do a full cleaning on them, make sure they're going to work a long time. We'll also teach you how to clean them. You know, there is, I don't know if you ever noticed, but there's some wax in your ears.
Yeah.
And so as you put hearing aids in, there's a possibility that it gets compacted with wax, or so the speaker microphone might get blocked a little bit. And it's really easy to clean. We'll show you how to do that. It's basically kind of a toothbrush looking thing. You're just going to clean it off, use a little bit of solution, and you're going to be good to go. So low maintenance. The best thing that you can do for your hearing aids is keep them clean, but then just come on a regular maintenance schedule and you're going to be fine. It's going to last a long time for you.
Well, and the thing is, it'll change your life too. And we talk about some of the life-changing factors, the health issues that are involved. Mm-hmm. So much is in play here. You've got to get your hearing right. It's more than just an inconvenience. It can really affect the quality of life that you have.
You know, that's right. I look at some of our patients who have come in the office recognizing that they have an issue, not realizing how bad it is. I'm thinking of one lady specifically who decided to do this 30-day challenge and came back 30 days later kind of in tears, just really emotional, explaining to us how she didn't realize that, I won't call abusing her husband, but she didn't realize that she was taking advantage of her husband because she couldn't hear him all the time. And they had, their relationship was waning, and she kind of divulged this to us, and like the hearing aids really just helped rekindle their relationship and get things kind of back on the right track, because now she could actually understand what he's saying. Where before she thought maybe he's being sarcastic, or he's kind of, you ever try to yell and smile at the same time? It's actually physically impossible. He can't do it. So as he's raising his voice to talk to her, she thought she kind of misconstrued how
that's
going.
A really good point. You think he's angry all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. And realize that, hey, you know, it's not what I thought it was, and it's been awesome for her. And I don't think everyone's going to have that same experience. I really hope not everyone has that same experience.
You're, but it could be saving marriages, don't
it? There you go. But it can be experiences like that. It really can change your life.
801-438-7058. Take these hearing aids out for a test drive. You got 30 days risk-free. If you like them, keep them. If not, you can bring them back. But either way, you're getting a gift card to the Home Depot.
That's right. As long as you qualify to be able to try the hearing aids, you're going to get that gift card if you try them for 30 days. Additionally, if you call right now and schedule in any of our offices, whether you're a BYU fan down in Provo or a Utah fan up in Salt Lake or Murray, we're going to put you into a drawing for a free set of those hearing aids.
801-438-7058. It's all right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.